It's wonderful to be back among you, and I'm thrilled to see each one of you here in worship and those of you that are worshiping with us online. We are grateful for each one of you. I have, for some, it may seem like bad news from Phil. You may have heard it's Groundhog's Day, and he did see his shadow. So we are in for, you know it, 6 more weeks of winter, according to his prediction, right? Well, it is good to be together regardless of whether we are still in the midst of winter or not. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and it's good to be with you. Those that will be assisting and leading worship today is Elizabeth Murray Sharon and Miriam Jones. Our communion servers are Steve and Francie Seibert, Dick and Mary Falkenberry, and Aaron and Grace Stout. And the music will be led by our talented Wesley Corral. Want to also just take a moment to welcome Susan Finger back from her recovery, her long time. We've missed you, Sue. Today we will be celebrating Holy Communion, and if you are at home, I invite you to gather your elements and join us in this gift from Jesus Christ. If you are worshiping here, you will have an opportunity to worship and receive communion 3 ways. The first is to kneel at the altar and receive. You will break off your own bread, dip it into the cup, and receive the bread and the juice at the same time. And you may just take your time and leisurely meet Christ at the table. You can also come forward to the black mats. Our servers will be standing on those. If you'd like to receive on the floor, you will receive a piece of bread. You will dip that into the cup and then receive the juice and the bread at the same time. If you would like to receive Holy Communion in your seat, there are the yellow cards. You may gather one of those. Lift it up. Dick and Mary Falkenberry will be coming around to those of you that have your cards lifted. So simply lift them up and they will come and serve you communion in your seat. We also have our emergency utility assistance offering that we make available for you to give to on Communion Sundays. So this Sunday, you're welcome to leave an offering within the baskets if you would like to do so. Want you to be sure to check. There are many opportunities out on the Welcome Center. One of those you saw Allie in her announcement on video about the 200 envelopes. Be sure to check that out and select your envelope. There is no restriction. If you want to give more than your envelope says, you are welcome to do so. But at least give what is on the envelope that you take. You are invited to share in repeating our pathway. We make disciples of Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Let us stand and greet one another in the love of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Please stand as you're able as we recite our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Allie Hall, the Director of Family Ministries, and I'd like to invite all of the children down for our children's moment. All right, guys. Connor, could you go ahead and, hold that thought, actually. I'm going to do a little quick pop quiz. Who remembers what our simple truth for January was? Oh, what is it?
I am forgiven.
That was fast, Ian. Good job. Goodness. Very clever. All right, so our simple truth for February is I am built for community. And do you know what a community is?
It's like a group of people, like the people in your neighborhood.
Very good. Yeah. What else?
It's a group of people that you spend quite a bit of time with.
Very good. That's right. And we're made for that. God designed us for community. Okay. So now, Connor, go ahead and open up our bag for us. Paper. You had guessed that. What else is in there? What's that? A pencil, paper and pencil. Now, inside all of your worship kits, did you guys have paper and pencil as well? Now, that's because I wanted you guys to help me participate with our children's moment today. So, what do we use paper and pencil for?
Coloring.
Coloring, very good.
Writing.
Writing, awesome.
Sometimes we do, like, draw, like, it's like coloring, but like drawing things out.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely. We can use it for drawing, for coloring, for writing. Now, have you guys ever like written in a journal? Yeah? That's sometimes really helpful, right? Because it feels like talking without talking. So sometimes you can say things that maybe you don't want to say out loud. You can be really honest with a journal. But did you know that we can do that with God through something called prayer? Right? We get to talk and we get to say whatever we want to say and feel whatever we want to feel when we talk to God. And what we're going to be talking about all month long is how we're built for community. And community isn't just us. It isn't just us and God. It's us and God and everyone else. And you know who kind of we're going to be focusing on a lot this month is us and our friends. So what I want you guys to do with your pencil and your paper, I want you guys to write a prayer for a friend. It can be thanking God that they're your friend. It could be that your friend is sick right now and you want to pray for them to get better. But I would like you to pray or write or draw a way that you can pray for that friend this morning. You guys think you can do that? All right, let's head back to our seats.
I was asked to speak today on why we go to the Joy Luncheons. Charlie and I have been going to Joy Luncheons for several years. Why do we go? I would bring it down to three things: food, fellowship, and fun. We enjoy what I call a taste of Anderson when a dedicated group of ladies order and serve food from an assortment of Anderson restaurants, like Lee's Fried Chicken or Mancino's Baked Spaghetti. Occasionally, as a special treat, a local sorority serves us a home-cooked meal. We enjoy the friends we have an opportunity to visit with while we eat. There's nothing like sharing a meal with good friends. Lastly, we do have fun. For example, the Christmas party was great fun. We played games, sang Christmas songs, and received gifts we never knew we needed. We skipped January, but are looking forward to beginning again this month. We meet on the third Friday of each month with lunch served at 11:30, followed by the program, which is sometimes just fun and sometimes interesting and informative. This month, we will hear from Steve Jackson, Madison County's historian who never disappoints. The menu will be chicken from Lee's. There is a charge of $12 for the meal, but if you just want to come for the program, there isn't a charge. Reservations are required by the Wednesday before if you want to have lunch with us. If you consider yourself a little older youth, Joy Luncheon is the place for you. See you in a few weeks. Compassionate God, who sees beyond our boundaries and loves without limit, we bring these offerings with grateful hearts. Use them to proclaim your good news, heal the broken, and extend your love to all, especially those we struggle to accept. Transform our gifts into a beacon of hope and inclusion that reflects the boundless love of Christ in every corner of our community. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. patient and wise God, you have called this church into being to serve you in this world by helping others. We rejoice in the many ways we are able to be of help, show hospitality, and introduce others to you. We offer our prayers for each other, for those near and dear to us, for the situations of difficulty and strife in this community and in the world. Hear our voices cry out, and with your eternal compassion, respond in loving care to each of us. We gather here this day, meeting and greeting each other, celebrating fellowship and friendship, welcoming each other in your name. You remind us that you are with us always. What have we to fear? But we fear far too often the unknown, tasks that lie ahead of us, strangers we have yet to meet, opposing ideas and questionable power. We also always want to be assured of the positive outcome of our efforts. Help us to trust your guidance and presence, Lord. Help us remember that there is no time in which we are out of your care. Enable us to be in service ministries and mission with confidence that you will multiply our efforts. Help us to meet you in this worship and in our private times with you. May we feel your spirit stir and awaken our hearts. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. Old Testament lesson comes from Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand at the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Our gospel lesson comes from John chapter 4, verses 20 through 26. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those of us who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Those are the first phrases of the chorus of a song entitled Here I Am to Worship by Tim Hughes. It's a song that became very near and dear to me in serving my church, in leading others in worship. And it's a powerful message, how we come to worship. And in coming to worship, we have this wonderful image out of Exodus 33. And I hope that you heard it. Because the people of God, when Moses went to the temple, and it was outside of camp, but when Moses would go to the temple to meet God, lo and behold, God would be there. That pillar of cloud would come down and rest right there, the presence of God. And I hope that you heard it. Everyone, all the people. Now, we're not just talking about a handful of folks who are camped around. We are told in Exodus that there were 600,000 men plus women and children. All the people would stand up. They would bow down in the presence of God, acknowledging that God was there. Now, it's an interesting time that this passage took place because, you see, they had previously had worshipped the golden calf. They had created one and worshipped it instead of God. They had chosen the world over God. They had sinned. Sin had separated them from God. That's why Moses had the tent outside of camp. And yet God was present. God was there. One of the things from Exodus 33 is that it emphasizes throughout Exodus that there is consequences for sin. And it's separation from God. It does not mean that God leaves. God shows up. We're the ones that left. The Israelites were the ones that left God. And yet this image, this powerful image of worship, over 600,000 people standing, kneeling in the presence of their God. It's a powerful image. Now there's a lot of debate that goes on about worship. Right? Where you can worship, what kind of sanctuary you need to have, or building, or structure that you can worship in. The type of music, that's a biggie. Our example last Sunday showed us that it's not an either or, can be a both and. The chancel choir, or the sanctuary choir, and Arrows of the Almighty. We debate over how to receive communion, who can, who can't, who's allowed, when we should offer it, how many times, all kinds of debate about that, about baptism. Who can be baptized and how much water are you supposed to use? A whole river full or a sprinkle? Or anything in between? We debate. We debate things about worship. And while I was gone on vacation, I met this couple from New Zealand. And I heard an amazing debate take place. It was at our table, and we were sharing things that were going on in our own worlds. And in New Zealand, I actually watched, this actually was passed. It was a unanimous government vote for this to pass, to become a law in New Zealand. It happened on Thursday, the 30th. In New Zealand, and this isn't the first time that this has taken place, there was a mountain that was given human status. It was through the, it's said to be one of the ancestors of one of the indigenous tribes of New Zealand, and it was given human status with all the responsibilities and all of the rights of a human being. Well, you can imagine the kind of debate that we had back and forth about that. A lot of questions were asked, and that's what I mean by debate. I don't mean about quarreling or arguing or demanding to be right. Debate in its healthy form is when people enter into it in the right spirit and come to learn. We have a lot of things that we could debate in the United States, but often we're not listening to one another. We're not open to learning. We're simply open to our way, and that's the only way. And while I was away, I thought, you know, this is amazing. The New Zealand people are claiming that mountains are human beings, creations of God, just as you and I are. There's a lot of things that we as the church could be focusing on, right? Why in the world would I choose us to focus a whole month on worship? I question myself. I ask, what good is that? And it didn't take long. I got the answer. We are told in Matthew 22:37, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our mind. The way that we do that, first and foremost, is to worship God, to praise God. That is the first and foremost act of love that we can do for our God. Showing love, that He is our God. It's powerful. And you may not be aware of this. In fact, most people kind of try to avoid the book of Revelation. But the very last positive commandment that we have in all of the Bible is in Revelation 22, verse 9. The last chapter, the ninth verse, and it says, worship God. Period. That's what we are called to do first and foremost. If we get that right, everything else that we are called on to do, everything else that we are commanded to do for our God, love others as ourselves, it will fall into place if we love God first. It's powerful. In John 4, we have another debate that's going on there. You've got a snapshot of it. And there we have a woman confronting Jesus Christ. She's a Samaritan, which means she's partly Jewish. She practices some of the Jewish laws. She understands and is waiting for the Messiah, just as the Jews were. And she confronts and argues with Jesus about the time for worship, the place for worship, the style of worship that ought to be taking place. Sound familiar? We can debate all those kinds of things still today. And Jesus tells her, it's not about where you worship. It's not about when you worship. It's not about how you worship. Those are not the most important things. The most important things is who you worship. And what you bring of yourself to worship. We are to bring our whole selves. In Genesis 3, God was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. God sought our presence. He wants to be with us. God never stopped seeking us. Even when we turned away, God did not, ever. He sent the prophets. He sent angels. He even sent archangels. And then he sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who could fill that void that we have created because of sin. Who could reconcile us to God. God never left us. We are the ones that moved and continue to move. Hopefully nearer to God, but not always, right? God seeks us, always has, always will, seeks to be in a love relationship with each one of us. Two of the things that we celebrate in the life of this church, in the United Methodist Church, the denomination, we recognize two sacraments. And we call them sacraments because Jesus actually participated in both of them. Some would say he instituted them. And that is communion and baptism. We as United Methodists believe that anyone who seeks God is welcome at Christ's table. Anyone. Anyone who wants to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ can come, whether it's the first time ever. Who knows? They may meet Christ there. That would be our hope. And in baptism, we believe that no one earns the right to be baptized. No one earns the grace of God. Doesn't matter how old you are, how much you've experienced, how long you've been in the life of the church. It is an outward expression of an internal grace of God. And it happens when there's an acknowledgement of God's grace. When we baptize infants, it's the parents who are acknowledging that. The grace of God is working within their lives, and they promise to raise that child to know the grace of God in their own. It's powerful. When we come to Holy Communion, when we come to baptism, we come bringing all of ourselves. It's a gift. I grew up in the church. I grew up in worship. It became kind of a habit for me. It was just, I just showed up. I didn't really have any part of anything. I would just go into worship. When I was a child, I used to have a charm bracelet that I made sure I wore every Sunday because I could dance my little charm ballerinas around during the hymns. I only got in trouble in worship, which says a lot. All the worship services, I ate so many Cheerios that I'm surprised I'm not a big O. But also in worship, I used to like to sing along and never knew the words quite, so I'd whistle. That did not go over well. But I was in worship all the time, and it really didn't hit home about what was actually taking place. It didn't become personal for me until an experience in middle school. My father was serving a church, and the parsonage we lived in was right next to the church. Just very much right next to the church. So much so that my bedroom on the second window, if the sanctuary windows were raised, and they were often raised, we didn't have air conditioning then, and when windows were raised, I could actually peek in to the sanctuary. I could see what was taking place in the sanctuary from my bedroom. Kind of an eagle-eye view of what was taking place. And one day, I remembered kind of peeking out my window. It must have been a warm day because the windows were open. And I saw my parents in the sanctuary. Now, they were always up to something fun. They were fun-loving. They were doers. So I got real curious. What were they doing over there? So I hop out of my room, traipse over to the church, and I go to the sanctuary entrance, one of the many, and I stand there and I listen. And it hit me. My parents were there praying. Not for anything harsh, not for anything bad to be removed from their life. They were praying a prayer of praise to God. And I am a visual person. And in my mind's eye, in that moment, I saw Jesus Christ kneeling in front of them with his hands on theirs. That's worship. Folks, when you come into worship, Jesus Christ is seated right next to each one of you. Right next to you. That's worship. You are in the presence of God. For Moses, it was a tent that he put up outside of camp. For us, it's this beautiful church that we are so privileged to be a part of and be inside of. We didn't make that up. That's not of us. It's of God. God seeks us and calls us to be a part of Jesus Christ in our midst. So I hope you can imagine with your mind's eye, Christ is with you, seated right next to you. And if you have a prayer that you're praying, Christ will lay his hands on your hands and be part of your prayer. As you come forward to receive communion, do so knowing Christ comes with you, kneels with you at the table, or comes forward with you and stands beside you that you may receive Christ's gift. Receive it anew and be grateful. Grateful with your whole heart. Thanking God for the gift he's given us. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. I invite you to join me and echo those words of mine. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Amen. Let us sing together, Nearer, My God, to Thee. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and eternal death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, and so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those who will be assisting during communion to come forward at this time. Come, the Lord's table is ready.
Thank you.
you have met Jesus. Jesus seated next to you, Jesus kneeling beside you. May your hearts be moved, knowing that it is out of love that he is here for you.